The snap is down. Tyler Bass, the kick is up. The kick is good. The clock says zero. The Bills have won it in Baltimore. The Bills came from 17 points down to beat the Baltimore Ravens. Unbelievable.
Yes, we did see the Bills come back from down 20-3 to beat Lamar Jackson. We also saw the Eagles and Jalen Hurts remind us why they are the only undefeated team left standing.
We didn't flinch. We persevered. We were unwavering in how we played. Nothing was able to deny us.
And yeah, Bailey Zappi and the Patriots were unable to deny Aaron Rodgers.
Snap, placement, swing the right leg, kick to the uprights. It is good! It is good! Mason Crosby has done it again!
And Patrick Mahomes did do pretty much all of the Patrick Mahomes things against the Bucs.
At the two, they fake the trap. Now Mahomes scrambling to his right, holding it, gets off the hit, now lunging forward, and now fires it late, caught at the back of the end zone. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Mahomes with the touchdown pass.
We were going to talk about all of that. We really, really were. But after what happened to Tua Tagovailoa on Thursday, and after watching more than half a dozen players enter the concussion protocol on Sunday alone, the topic most on our minds, we realized, by far, turned out to be the mind itself. So today, we go inside the concussion protocol with a quarterback who has been through it, who has manipulated it several times in his own career, our own Alex Smith, who tells us what we cannot see from the outside, and what should finally change. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Monday, October 3rd. This is ESPN Daily.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, Alex, I'm going to ask you, I think, some personal and even more invasive questions about you and your life and your career here today. So just first off, thank you. Thank you for consenting. Thank you for agreeing to do something a little different here.
I like that you told me that once we're already on air and rolling. So that's good. Okay, let's go.
Well, before we get into it, I do want to do the brief recapping here of why we're doing this, because we're doing it because Tua Tagovailoa is in the middle of the most explosive story in the NFL still today. I mean, this is the quarterback of the Dolphins. If you've been hibernating, what you should know is that last Sunday, a week ago today, he got pushed to the ground, hit the back of his helmet against the ground, against the Bills.
He got a flag down. It's in the backfield, too.
And Tua getting up slow there.
Personal foul. Roughing the passer. Uh-oh. Defense number 58.
Tua is struggling.
15-yard penalty. First down.
Yeah, he got hit. Jimmy, he doesn't know where he is. He got up, staggered around.
And a lot of people immediately said, oh, look, he is concussed. And he got evaluated for a concussion at halftime. Returned to the game at the beginning of the third quarter. Got evaluated. Won the game, and the Dolphins said, oh, actually, that evaluation produced evidence of a back injury. That was week three. And so here we are in week four. They play the Bengals on Thursday, 4 days later, amid this ongoing investigation by the NFLPA. And of course, Tua winds up getting sacked. He hits his head on the ground even harder this time, and the scene is even more horrifying. His hands are grotesquely cramping, a clear sign of head trauma. Alex, he needs to get stretchered out. And in the aftermath of the blame, like, the independent neurologist who cleared him to play last Sunday gets fired. All of this stuff is happening, all of which leads me to ask you, how many concussions did you have in your NFL career?
Well, on that note, Pablo, documented ones, you know, certifiable or,
Let's get both. Let's get both answers if you could.
I'm, for them. You know, I'm half joking, half not. You know, I've been lucky. I had one in college and I had... I had two as a professional.
Yep.
And both very different experiences. In the NFL's eyes, I think they would only say I had one documented case. But yeah, I've been pretty fortunate in that regard. But also, they were both incredibly memorable, complicated for me. Yeah, and so watching last Sunday, I mean, I was watching the ballgame. It was the biggest game of the day, you know, Miami and Bills. And I watched the hit when he tipped over and hit his head against the ground. And it's, you know, there were so many things that resonated because it's always the ground. Like, I feel like there's all these huge hits sometimes that are like highlight reel types of hits, but it's always, the ground is so unforgiving. And falling down like that and the whip of your head going back. And I think I was like the rest of the country. Like, this kid grabbed his head immediately, right? He got up and stumbled.
Yes.
Like, seconds later, and was removed from the game. And you know, over the course of my career, the protocols and the concussion, obviously the knowledge base, the whereabouts, the system to get these guys out of the game, the spotters in the crowd, the independent neurologist, the red hat, whatever you want to call them. I mean, there's all these things that have been implemented over the last 20 years. And, you know, it seemed like an obvious sign. They got him out. Yep, he's in the protocol. And, you know, obviously Teddy Bridgewater runs in and a veteran backup, and I'm kind of interested to watch him play. And then, you know, like you said, I fast forward. I couldn't believe it when they came out of halftime and Tua was back in the game. I literally was, it was unbelievable to watch. You know, you remember what you saw. This kid stumbled. He grabbed his head. Like, he clearly hit his head on the back of the ground. And then to hear the reporting of the back injury, the ankle injury, all this other stuff that came out after the game. Yeah, it was really, it was funny. You know, for me, obviously, brought back a lot of personal memories about that process. And then watching, obviously, Thursday was, it was hard. It was. It was tragic. It was, thankfully, he seems to be doing well and hopefully he's on the mend. And, you know, there's been so many measures that have been put in place, we just said, over the last 20 years, and clearly they failed in this moment. So, you know, obviously we're all left with a bunch of questions and trying to figure this thing out.
Well, I want to get to your concussions, your accounting of them. I want to get to what it's like actually to go inside of the protocol that everybody is now debating here, Alex. And I guess let's just talk about it from your perspective.
Yep.
What's it actually like to enter it? Like, what does it involve? What's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. The very first test, I don't know the name of it, but it's the test you get on the spot. Like, you're on the sideline. There is a short 5 to 10 question exam that your team doctor or the neurologist can administer. And this is the basic, do you know where you are? Do you know what you had for breakfast? Do you know what time it is? Kind of thing. What's going on around you? Like, very, very obvious questions. And you quickly can find out if somebody's, you know, obviously slow to respond, doesn't know, you know, they quickly, that's your first ticket to get into the protocol. Once you're in it, you're in it. You're obviously not going back into the game. And there are a series of kind of hurdles, I would say, to get back. And they take a while. And the first one is we all take this baseline test at the beginning of the year. It's kind of a response neural. It's on a computer. You know, you're literally like memory test, speed of processing. It takes like 20, 30 minutes. And every player has a baseline that we had already recorded in the offseason. This is the one that infamously, you know, Peyton joked about scoring lower on so you could get back in. And that was always the joke. No one ever did it, obviously. You know, he was.
But the gamesmanship of if you tank the test, you can have a lower threshold to clear the next time. But in terms of even setting the threshold, what are some of those questions like? Like, when you're at this, I mean, where is this taking place? Like, where are you on a computer? Is it in the facility or where is that happening?
In the facility, and you are in a room by yourself. They try to do as best job as they can as eliminating distractions. Yeah, and it's a time test. You get on this computer and you have a mouse, and it's literally, you know, remembering words, response timing, you know, clicking on buttons at a certain speed, you know, as they come up, problem solving, kind of like elementary puzzles that you're kind of solving. And then at the end of the test, they're going to come back to some of the words that they gave you at the front. You know, and there's a lot of factors that they're looking at this, right? Again, time of response, you know, your scoring on actually how you remember all these things.
But it sounds like they're testing primarily because the questions are not that hard. They're testing for speed of answer and memory.
Yeah, it's you know, obviously some kind of PhD came up with this test, and it would be hard to tank it. You know, you're on it. You're kind of just, it's all reactionary. You remember the words they gave you at the beginning. You're kind of going through these puzzles. And then at the end, they obviously ask you to remember these words. And, you know, I know Peyton was joking when he said it, but that was always kind of the joke in the locker room as well. Mm. And especially as you become more veteran, you kind of just keep your baseline. It's not something you take every single year. So you kind of have your baseline test. And then once you go into the protocol, you know, you would come in on a Monday and immediately they're always checking symptoms. So you come in on a Monday and they would immediately get examined by your trainer and the doctors on your sleep, any symptoms you're feeling or have felt since the game. And if at any point you have symptoms, you're automatically not going to the next hurdle. So at any point in all these things, if a symptom arises, right, headache, nausea, dizziness, trouble sleeping, whatever it may be, trouble with your vision, balance, you don't get to progress to the next step. And so you're stuck there until you kind of pass those things. So if you do, right, you come in, say you came in, you don't have any symptoms, you slept well, you're feeling good, you go ahead and take this baseline test again, right? And then they're going to reference these up against each other.
So this is all happening the day after, presumably, that you just hit your head on a Sunday. Let's say this is the Monday where all of this is happening.
Yep. So that happens then Monday. And that's kind of essentially all you're doing. You know, you may be able to go up to meetings because Mondays are kind of a light day anyway. So you don't get to work out. You can go sit up in some meetings if you're feeling good, take place in any of that, but you're not doing any physical activity. And then you're going home and you're sleeping again. And you're coming back in the next morning and it's kind of the same thing over again. Have any symptoms arisen? And did you sleep well? Do you have any headaches? Do you have, you know, dizziness? Any of the kind of standard questions? And then at that point, you get to work out.
Mm.
So you're going to do some physical activity. You're going to get on a, ride a bike. You're going to go lift some weights. You're going to get a sweat in. And then that's all you're going to do that day again. And once again, go home, sleep, come back in. Did you have any symptoms? So as you're doing all these things, there's this process and protocols, right? They're constantly, as you do one, you have to give feedback based off your feelings. There's certainly they're waiting. You do get to upgrade to practice at that point. So we're able to go take part in practice, throw it around. And then again, it's the exact same thing. Has anything come up? How you feeling? How's your balance? How's your, you know, headache? Any of these things. You do also at this point, you're plugging along on these hurdles. You get close to having to see an independent neurologist at this point. The same, potentially the same guy, if it was a home game or a girl that was at your game. And you're going to go do a full exam with them, full neurological exam in office. Same thing. If you're symptom free, it's a pretty standard examination, right? I mean, it's the same thing. A lot of these same questions, how you feeling, you know, quick neurological exam, and you're kind of out of there.
That neurological exam you're describing that takes place like midweek now is where we are after the Sunday in which this happens. On the Sunday itself, do they do anything like during the game that determines whether you can go back in specifically? Like, is there a way that—
Yes. So to rewind. Yeah, absolutely. So to rewind. So say you answer the 10 basic questions really well. You know where you are. You know what time it is. You know who you're playing. You know, you've passed that. Even if there's been a clear hit, and especially like in Tua's case, a stumble, you still are going to get pulled into the locker room. They will administer those easy 10 questions on the field and on the sideline. The next progression is a little more extensive. I would call it a 10 to 15 minute examination test that has to take place in the locker room in like a more of a clinical setting. They don't do that on the sidelines. So that's when he got removed. I've been there. You get pulled out in the lot. You get pulled into the locker room. It's just you, a trainer, the neurologist, and then they're going to administer this longer 10 minute thing. And this is a series of what you would even see on a sobriety test, you know, a series of agility, standing on one leg, touching your nose, walking down a line. You're also same thing at the very beginning. He's going to ask you a bunch of questions. He's going to give you some words, a bunch of words. He's going to ask you, then he's going to distract you. He's going to take you down a bunch of questions. They could be geography questions. They could be simple math questions. He's going to ask you a bunch of stuff. Again, he's giving you this kind of sobriety test. So he's also asking you to perform kind of basic agility things, balance, standing on one leg. At the end of this 10 to 15 minutes, he's going to come back to these words he gave you at the very beginning of the test. And if you do well on this entire thing, you're not in the protocol. If he deems you to not have a concussion at this point, you are not in the protocol. You cleared it. You got to pass jail and go straight to go.
Right. Like you know.
Yeah, you're out of it. And that, I've done it. It happened to me. And clearly Tua passed that exam in the locker room. And, you know, obviously also we learned, you know, symptoms of his back and his ankle also came up. So don't know how much that was in play back there during that examination, but clearly he got approved to go back onto the field. So he never was put in the protocol.
So the protocol and the ability to pass it, to not even have to enter it such that you can return to play on that same day in that same game, the idea that you're going to be asked these questions and the idea that they're going to be questions in the way that you described, did you know all of that? Like, are players aware of, like, listen, if this happens, you're going to need to, you know, what do you know about what you're about to experience?
No, I mean, I only knew it because I had gone through it, especially I had to go through it twice in the second time because I got out of it. I passed the test. And it was, you know, to be honest, a somewhat similar situation when I was in Kansas City. I took a hit, remember it really well. I tried to jump up and bounce up as you do. You know, as a quarterback, sometimes you try to take pride, right? You get a good hit and you try to like jump up and let them know you're okay. And I quickly jumped up and same kind of thing, lost my balance. Almost felt like my leg gave out underneath me and had a wobble.
Mm-hmm.
And really felt fine. And this whole series of events started, right? Taken to the bench, asked these, you know, the very generic easy questions, passed those, got taken to the locker room, passed the more extensive test, was deemed not to have a concussion. I felt great, made that very apparent. I knocked the test out. Can't, now all of a sudden I come trending back out on the sideline.
Right, you're proud of yourself. You just passed this test. You're good.
Yeah. Get me back in the game, coach. And I was adamant about it, you know? Andy put me back in. And he did. I went back in the game. And here's a coach I have a ton of respect for. Coach football as long as anybody, right? He was there, but this is what, you know, we'll get into is the experts cleared me. I passed their metric of a concussion that I got through, and similarly to Tua shouldn't have, and got through it, and I went back in the game.
So I want to take a quick just pit stop here and discuss how you passed it and how clear it was that, oh, this is a thing that I aced versus this is a thing that involved some judgment call on behalf of the person administering it, right? When he's talked about, I should not have passed it, but I did, explain that. Explain how it is that there's ambiguity in this test.
Oh, I think in the sense that, you know, we obviously know that concussions kind of fall on a spectrum, right? Like it's not binary. It's not an on or an off. You know, there's this, I clearly had had one. It was pretty mild. I was incredibly focused during that test because I knew once he pulled me back in the locker room and he started down this road, I thought, oh, I mean, here we go. You know, like I'd already had the concussion in San Francisco.
Yeah, we're going to get to that concussion in a little bit, to be very clear here. But the one in which you're describing a scene that looked a lot like Tua's when you watched the video, coming out of that saying, I am not going to fail this test.
Yeah, and I was locked in. I was incredibly focused given the circumstances. Like, as competitive as you could get, that I'm going to pass this test. I mean, I'm going to pass this freaking test. I'm not going back into the protocol. And yeah, so again, given the very mild nature of the hit I took, I did. I aced it. I aced it, Pablo. I crushed it.
The acing of the test, right? Like, it sounds like the test also involves you testifying to the degree to which you are being, you are suffering from the effects of a concussion.
Yep, without a doubt. Without a doubt, I withheld. Yeah, you're withholding. You're not telling the full truth.
Mm.
Yep. And now, I was 100% clear-headed. I remembered absolutely everything about the incident, but that still didn't change the fact that Yeah.
That you knew you had a concussion and you didn't report it because you wanted to compete.
Yeah, I knew I'd taken a good hit, Pablo. I knew that I had been compromised, I guess would be a good way to put it. I felt great. So like from a classic, definition of a concussion and getting, even getting your bell rung, like I wouldn't even have said that. Like I didn't, but here there was a visual sign. Everybody saw it. I felt it. It was strange. It was hard for me to even verbalize what had happened. But all of a sudden now I felt pretty good, especially, 10, 15 minutes removed from the situation. Felt good. Here this independent neurologist has given me a test. I've been given a lot of tests and I'm going to do my best to pass this thing, but yeah, no doubt. Without a doubt, again, to go back to your question though, there is some level of half-truths that get told, There's clearly withholding of information.
And the motive to do that, to withhold information, to distort the reality of your concussion, how do you explain that? What motivates you to do it?
Yeah, it's a good question. Certainly to play, to get back out there. Yeah, this was my second concussion. Obviously, we haven't touched my first that cost me my starting job. So, certainly that's sitting there. I had gone through a lot here. I felt like my career was finally taking off in Kansas City and didn't want to let that slip through my fingers, It's hard. I'd also been pretty veteran. I, at this point, got little kids. I want my brain to be healthy for the rest of my life, So I'm also, don't get me wrong, I'm not naive or ignorant to these things, but you're trying to talk yourself into it as well, in that moment. Yeah, I feel good. It was nothing. So, yeah, it's hard. I think that was it, that I felt good. I tried to talk myself into that I was okay and that I could go play. And, again, also maybe hoping to rely on that. Yeah. Like if I pass this test, I am good, right? This means I'm okay. The expert, this means I'm good to go. So that only further, empowered me that I was okay.
Well, let's get to what happens next in this same game when you're a Kansas City Chief, because the story of your concussion does not end there. What happens next?
No, it's like deja vu. My first concussion I got when I slid.
First and 10 from the 22. Little quick fake handoff to Ware. Smith so mobile as a quarterback that he takes a vicious shot. Edwin Jackson getting his money's worth.
And he's woozy. He's woozy. They're going to have to take a look at it. There's no doubt he took a shot here. And quarterbacks get to save themselves by sliding feet first. But if you slide late, then you can't put it on the defender to hold up and not take a shot.
And this was, this is like the infamous, I'd kind of talked Andy Reid into running some QB-driven run plays, read options, and I loved them. And I'd always told him I'd protect myself, I'll be fine. And so I slid feet first on the first one, slid kind of late, defender coming over the top. And when you slide feet first as a quarterback, you're just so vulnerable. And sure enough, he kind of hits me up in my head. And same kind of thing as too, I bounce off the turf. And that was the first incident. Well, second incident, so again, here we go again. DN crashes. I pull the ball. I'm running in space. I know the situation. We're winning. Like I know I already had this one incident.
Right.
I slide again. I feel like I slide even earlier. Sure enough, safety comes over the top, clips my head. And it's like same thing. I hit my head on the ground and it happened all over again.
Smith fakes the handoff. And once again, a late slide on a second and two. And Smith again is slow to get to his feet. That was Clayton Gethers.
Why would you run that play when he's already dealing with concussions issues, that he's already been knocked out of the game and went into the protocol?
There was clearly a moment on the field at that point that I was out. I would call it a full, 1-1000 kind of on the field where I'm out of it and I come to jump up.
Where you're unconscious for a full second at the least, is your recollection of it, as hazy as I'm sure as it must be.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah, definitely. I'm out on the field for a short period of time, a very small period of time. And come to with a bunch of trainers and people all, you know, around me. And for me at that point, you know, a rush of emotion, you know, you're pissed at yourself, to be honest, that it happened, that I let it happen.
But what are you mad at in that moment? What are you pissed at specifically?
I think for starters that I just got hit, that I shouldn't even have gotten myself hit. Like, what the hell was I doing? That I'd gotten back out into the game and now it was going to, I knew it was already going to set off a bit of a debacle. Yeah. And so frustrated.
A debacle in the sense of your job as quarterback or the whole saga of how it is that you were out there in the first place?
Yep. Both. All of the above. Yeah. All of the above. You're going to have to answer for all of it. And so, you know, you didn't even fight it at that point. You know, you go off with the trainers, they walk you off the field and the doctor. At this point, we go straight back to the locker room and it's the same protocol though, right? So you start with this first same basic generic easy questions, you knock those out and here we go again. And we go down the second test, which is the same thing. This time it's a whole series of new words that you got to remember. And then you go down this whole sobriety test again, agility, balance, answering all these kind of, problem solving questions, you know, any kind of common sense things people would know. They're trying to evaluate my response time, things like that. They come back to those same questions at the end of it, you know, 10 minutes later, I crushed the second one better than the first one. You know, I knocked this one out and Pablo, wouldn't you know it? I'm out of the protocol.
I laugh because I don't know what other reaction to have at this sequence of events you've just described.
And so
it's amazing. It's amazing that you come out of this free and clear.
And so it was really kind of almost a troubling moment. I mean, I even remember our trainer like laughing about it, like the concussion that you didn't have. Like everybody knew it. Like, no, it happened. But like obviously the entrance into the protocol was imperfect. And still is, but like, yeah. And that I, again, kind of got out, slipped out this side door. And it was funny the rest of that week. Now the Chiefs put me in the protocol and I did it, but it was all kind of unofficial. And I didn't start the next week.
Right.
And it was,
right.
I remember sitting down with Andy later that week and I, you know, I didn't have any symptoms, had done really well. And Andy, I think, was very frustrated at himself that he had stuck me in the game the week prior. And obviously made the wise decision that he wasn't, given the fact that I still had passed all the stuff, that he wasn't going to let me play. And thankful for him for that, along with our trainer and doctors that all made, you know, great decisions. Again, for me, at a point when I was still symptom-free and passing tests and moving along and feeling like, hey, let's go, you know. And so, yeah, I sat a week and thankfully, and then rolled after that. Never had another incident for the rest of my career. So, and I think, I'm sure if you look at my medical records, technically I probably only had one official concussion in the eyes of the NFL.
Right, right, right. But in reality, you're describing two in this one game alone, right? I mean, and this, just to be very clear about this, because the way that you're describing this, the test being passed, the sobriety test metaphor here of like, I'm here to pass this thing and evade punishment, essentially, right? What you're describing is this collective sense that if we play by the rules and ace the test, get through that side door, we all can benefit here, right? Like this is the trade-off when you're the quarterback who's playing really well that they need, is that everybody is rooting for you to pass these things because that means that you get to still be on the field playing.
Of course, absolutely. I mean, even watching tonight, you hear like, oh, well, so-and-so runs off and goes into the blue 10. It could be any position player, but like if it's a team you're rooting for, you're like, hoping whatever, I mean, whether it be an ankle injury or a head injury, you're hoping everything's okay and that they run back out of that blue tent and get back out on the field for your team. You know, like that's, even as a player, you want that. You've invested so much, you've sacrificed so much for your team and yourself in your career, like to even be there. I mean, I don't want to speak for him, but Tua's first, you know, rival in the league wasn't exactly what you draw up. You know, the first couple of years of dysfunction, and they want Deshaun Watson and all these things. And
now he's on a hot streak. He's undefeated. He's finally top of the world, and this happens.
Yep. It's got an offensive coach that believes in him. He's rolling. He's hot. Like, your feeling as a player is that, like, here's my chance. You know, like, he bit his time those first few years, and it was, you know, not pretty. And, you know, although not that he played bad, but you know what I'm saying? It was dysfunctional and all this talk about trading for other quarterbacks.
Right, of course.
Here he is. He's shining, and he's got his moment, and you want to take advantage of it. You certainly don't want it. Like I said, you don't want to let it slip through your fingers.
All right, Alex, after the break, the concussion you experienced on the record in San Francisco.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So, Alex, this is the one that I remember as a fan, as a media person, knowing about and hearing about, because it is the way that the Colin Kaepernick story begins, right? Spoiler alert. That's how we get Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco and that entire saga. But your memories of getting hit, getting concussed as a Niner, you've recalled the Kansas City days pretty clearly. Is this one also something you recall very, very clearly?
Oh, I remember it so well. Yeah. I mean, it was kind of what I just talked about. Like I was the number one pick. It just had this tumultuous first 5-6 years of my career, really struggling to shed the bus label, just carried a lot of weight as the number one overall pick and a young kid and dealing with those kind of pressure to perform and meeting expectations and, you know, other people's validation. And we weren't a very good football team. They throw that on top.
Yep.
And a revolving door of offensive coordinators my first, you know, 6 years. And then boom, you know, Jim Harbaugh, new coaching staff come in and we take off. And it's like, go to the NFC Championship game. We're overtime, you know, inches from going to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I had the best season of my career. Learned all these, you know, lessons the hard way, you know, ups and downs. And here we go. And we're rolling. I'm leading the NFL in passer rating. One of the best teams in the NFL. We got a loaded roster. I feel like I'm only just starting to reach my potential, and we're playing the Rams, and I took a really unnecessary, but took a great hit to the back of the head.
Smith on a play fake back to throw, being pressured, escapes to his left, going to run, and Alex will slide down, takes a little pop from Jolon Dunbar in the back as Alex goes down.
Definitely was a good collision, and again, Pavlo, I tried to jump up, act like it didn't faze me, and I did. Pop right back up. Acted like nothing happened and continued to play and hiding symptoms at this point, trying to assess internally if I'm all right, if I can play through this, and continue to kind of roll. And we're driving and completing passes and going, and then we run a QB sneak. And on this QB sneak, I think we converted it, but I go down. I hate QB sneaks because of this, Pablo. And I go down and I hit the ground, kind of diving, and boom, instantly, kind of a, what I would call a star in my vision.
Mm.
Trouble seeing. It was a day game, really bright. It was a beautiful day at Candlestick Park, and got this big kind of bright star in my vision, and I'm having trouble seeing at this point. And it's one of these things that you would try to blink off, you know, if you had it. Be kind of like if you looked at the sun for a little while and then looked away, like trying to blink this off, but it's not going away, Pablo. And I'm still in the huddle calling plays at this point, trying to blink this thing off.
And at this point, you're not sure that you have been concussed. That's not your own diagnosis yet.
The visual thing, no, it's not my diagnosis. I never was like knocked out or anything. I remember everything, very clear headed, but now I got this star that it's really a visual thing at this point. It's so bright and it's like really kind of affecting my focus. And I literally, we're driving down the field and they blitz me. Thank God they sent the house. I throw this little dump pass to Crabtree like on a hot route and he scores a touchdown.
Yes.
A single coverage. And go underneath to Crabtree. Crabtree, touchdown. Into the end.
I mean, I throw a touchdown pass. And
with basically the inability to see.
Yep. And like, don't know how it happened. I'm like, I couldn't, like, I still like really struggling. So I go back onto go sit down on the bench and I'm sitting there. And I remember with Cap, like sitting next to me, we're like looking at the pictures and I'm trying hard to get this, my eyes to clear up and it's not happening. And I remember distinctly like talking to him, like, man, it's not, something's not right.
Alex Smith has been sacked twice in this game, but since he was hit by Jolon Dunbar, he hadn't been right.
Chris, he is not right. Colin Kaepernick is now in the game, and Alex Smith, just watching him on the sideline and the look on his face, there is something wrong physically for sure.
At that point, head trainer comes over and start talking to him, and I'm very honest at this point about my symptoms, right? Because it's my eyes. I can't see. I mean, I can, but I can't. Like, I can't go play football. I'm not going to help the team at this point, right? Like, me going out there trying to play quarterback is this isn't going to be productive for the team. This isn't going to be productive for me. And I'm being very open and honest about this. Boom, we go walking in. Cap plays the rest of the game. I think it actually ended in a tie. But I'm hanging out in the locker room. They come back in. You know, it was really kind of the first time Cap had played consistent minutes at that point. I'd kind of been rolling. You know, we drafted him the year prior. And, you know, I'm in the protocol at this point. And the protocol is kind of new in the NFL, but I go into it. I'm in it.
Right. This is 2012, 10 years ago. Yep.
This is down the kind of the line of, you know, you come in the next day. How'd you sleep? How'd you do? They take the baseline test. You know, they compare that. I take the computer test. They compare it to my baseline answers, you know, my reactionary timing, all this stuff. They're trying to look for discrepancies. You know, as we get in midweek, and we're working out and practicing, I'm having some kind of residual symptoms. They were very, very mild. And in the sense that I almost wondered if I was overthinking them, you know, but I also wanted to kind of be honest about it. You know, when they were asking me, I was a young, you know, still kind of young kid at that time and being open and honest about them. So I didn't meet the protocols that week. So Cap starts and he actually starts versus the Chicago Bears, plays awesome, right? Plays awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of kick starts the Jim Harbaugh hot hand kind of thing. Cause the next week now, I'm really determined to get my spot back. I'm feeling great trying to pass these protocols. I'm mowing them down, you know, feeling good. I want to get back out there. And at this point, I still haven't had the contact test. And that was the final one. And as a quarterback, it's kind of stupid. You know, you don't get hit all week again. Well, they basically, the head trainer or somebody gets a big, one of the blocking bags and you go out there with your helmet and he smacks you with it a few times and you like run into him and then that's your contact.
That's the big box to check.
That's like your contact. Cause I mean, you're not going to go run into somebody full speed. Like, what do you do? How do you evaluate that? So I want to get this done on Friday. That's kind of typically when it would happen as you progress through the week. Well, it doesn't happen on Friday because Friday we travel. We're going to New Orleans. They didn't want to do it after practice. So they kind of said, hey, we'll do it in New Orleans when we get there, maybe Saturday morning at walkthrough. you know, we go through it and do it. And at this point, Jim Harbaugh's still hum-hawing about who's the quarterback. This is Alex's team. Is it not? And then that's where he decided to go with Cap and kind of went with the hot hand, as he said it himself.
Mm-hmm.
And man, the rest is history, right? I mean, his first eight games were off the charts.
Unbelievable. Just a revelation in all of the ways.
He still holds records. Yep, he still holds records. The Green Bay Packers still don't know who has the football in that playoff game. I can still see Clay Matthews running around looking for him, you know, and we go to the Super Bowl. And Pablo, I got a C on my chest, man. You know, like, I'm the team captain and sitting and watching the Super Bowl. And I mean, this is obviously the pinnacle of our sport. It's what you would hope and dare to dream of. And there it is. And there it goes right by me. I watched every snap from the sidelines. And obviously the whole thing coming down to the end. But that all started, the whole thing kind of kickstarted, obviously, with the concussion and going in the protocol. And yeah, me being honest about my symptoms.
Well, let's be very blunt about this, Alex, because you lost your job because you were concussed. I mean, the C on your chest in that way stood for something different.
Yep.
Like the big C that entire time, it was a direct line from you being, as you said it earlier, you being a young kid trying to be open and honest about his symptoms, directly to this fork in the path of your personal history and the history of the sport in general.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the protocols were kind of new. And, to watching it, I just distinctly watching it pass me by from the sidelines. You know, you like the guy that, again, you like sat at the slot machine warming it up, putting in your time, and you get
right,
up and the,
right,
you know, you
course.
Get up and this kid sits down and hits the jackpot with the next pull and hard to watch. It's frustrating.
No,
it so
I
hard,
mean, again,
you know?
Again, another thing where I'm laughing, but the pain that is so evident in your recollection of that, it does lead me to wonder whether in retrospect you wish you weren't as open and forthcoming and bluntly honest about your symptoms. If in fact, you wish you had done it the other way, the way you did it ultimately in Kansas City.
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I wonder, like, again, to go back to that week when I really struggled with, was I overanalyzing things, you know, symptom-wise when I was trying to get cleared? Was I overthinking it? You know, in my head, this internal battle of it. And I did ultimately decide to be open about that. And absolutely, obviously, cost me the rest of that year, and that was the end of my career in San Francisco, you know. So I think I'd be lying if I said that didn't harden me a little bit.
But this is and thank you for, you know, indulging the therapy session here that I am forcing you to have, but like but this internal battle between abiding by a policy that you know intellectually is there for the greater good versus your own self-interest, this is the story of every player that enters the concussion protocol, is yep. what you're suggesting here. This is Tua Tagovailoa's story. This is Alex Smith's story. This is the story of countless other players, more than a half dozen on Sunday alone, who went through this.
Yep.
And so that tension, right, between health and self-interest, you know, I am curious, like, if that is just a thing that is going to be fixed forever. Like, if that tension is just inescapable, if that's just part of this dynamic, like, how do you get around that part, Alex? The fact that you have competing, conflicting interests here at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, I think at some point, at some level, they're always going to be there. I think the big factor here is this, it's this giant, scary unknown, right? Concussions, CTE. It's one of the things we just don't know a lot about it, right? We don't know about the long-term effects. So as a player, you're sometimes, well, it's not going to be me. You know, it wasn't that bad. It was mild. Like, you know, these are things that you grapple with and tell yourself, you know, potentially when you're dealing with this and that you're like, I'm okay. I can come back. I can play through this. But again, you do hear these horror stories, certainly of
course.
And we see it, right? Of former players, older players dealing with these things. It scares the hell out of you. You know,
yep.
Everybody. But like again, there still is so much unknown, though.
You mentioned a slot machine before. It feels like this is kind of the same metaphor of like there's a risk right? Is the risk worth it when there is a degree of uncertainty, of unknown, dealing with the brain? And I want to be empathetic, Alex, towards people who are choosing between their own careers and their health, and where, in fact, those trade-offs can be made.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is, we're making that as a football player when you're playing. I mean, every single day with your whole body, right? I mean, this is the reality. I mean, every joint, bone in your body, you know, you're laying on the line, and certainly that adds to the. Like, this is the reason we love football, though, too, right? I mean, it is...
The violence, the risk is all essential to its appeal.
Yes, the speed, yep, the power, all of that out there on display is part of the reason we love it. You know, I think the NFL, I really do believe that they've tried so hard, and we've seen it. I mean, the rule changes, the things that they've tried to implement as the years have gone on to make the game as safe as possible. And I think that the thing to remember here, I think that's always going to be a moving, unattainable target, but we want to get as close as we can. For me, with the concussion protocol and watching, you know, last Thursday with Tua, you know, certainly for me, again, going back to, I mean, what was that, 5-6 years ago when I went through the same thing, and to see him kind of go through such a similar experience, obviously this one far more public and, you know, got a lot more attention. But yeah, that it's an imperfect system. It probably always will be imperfect, but we can be better. And that watching Tua go through this, it shouldn't have happened. There should have been one of 12 to 15 people, Tua included, that should have, would have, could have said no.
Well, but this is the thing, right? You're describing, I mean, this is the privilege of making the call for someone else. Right? It's the idea that actually the wiring of an NFL player is such that you do need someone to protect them from themselves.
I think, you know, in football, like a lot of sports, there's so much pride, and it comes with the history of football, being a tough football player and playing through things and being there for your team and being accountable. You know, if you play through, you know, a sprained shoulder, you know, you go out and tough it out for your teammates, there's so much respect and for that toughness. And, you know, in the sense of like, that's such a part of the culture of a locker room. And, you know, there's only 53 guys on the roster. So like we're not even too deep at some positions. It's part of it. But then again, like, concussions are such a different animal, you know.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, you're the perfect person to talk to about this story for like 90 different reasons at this point. Not just the concussion stuff, but because you are the most famous case study in one of the visible, visceral injuries, right? That is your story too, the story of your leg, Project 11, all of that. And it does feel like, Alex, there is still, simply because of the visible nature of a leg injury versus a brain injury, it feels different as a result.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Right? I mean, yeah, the visible nature of certainly a bad break, and, you know, the scars to go with it, and, you know, the trauma, the external trauma that we can see and digest as a viewer and an audience.
Right. The urge to vomit when you see the bone poking through versus the idea that actually this brain thing might be so much more problematic medically long-term.
Yep, absolutely. No doubt. Long-term consequences that we're obviously only learning and figuring out. And it's not visible, right? You don't get an MRI and it, like, he tore his MCL. Like, he can't play. Like, you know, he's got a high ankle sprain. Like, those are things that are so clearly diagnosable. And when you look around your locker room, like, you know, there's a little bit, like, those are things that you're not going to play through, right? Well, like, the concussion is like, it's not quantifiable. It's not tangible. Like, well, you know, you're okay. Go play.
Right.
Like,
there's, you know, a like test that you had to take that you failed a test. That's why you can't do this.
Yes, exactly. Like, you told him he had symptoms. Really? Like, you know, like, all of a sudden, I think you feel weak, you know? You told him you had symptoms. You didn't get cleared. You know, like there is an element of that. And certainly I think that's a conflict. That's probably a culture that needs to, and I think is changing, but it's there. It's for sure there.
I have just noticed and I appreciate in this conversation how you have sort of swung between like the person that was playing and the convictions you had and still feel. And now the person that is trying to be aware of like what the science is saying, and you're trying to see yourself, Alex, as if you are not yourself. You're trying to be outside the body of the person whose body was at the center of the story.
Yeah. And you know, and the scariest thing, not scariest, but like the thing I have trouble with mostly now, my 11-year-old wants to play football, you know, and grappling with that. You know, I didn't play till high school. And, you know, again, I love football.
Same.
You know, and he loves it himself and wants to play. And so we'll see. Luckily, I've got a few years here to figure this out. But yeah, you know, you think about those things certainly far more as a parent. You know, when you were playing, when I was a kid and I started playing, I loved it. I loved every minute of it. And you just don't think about those things when you're in it.
Alex Smith, thank you for thinking about all of these things with us tonight.
Pablo, thanks as always, man.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.